host has spent decades studying the Bible in the original languages. He holds degrees from the University of Wisconsin, Moody Bible Institute, Asbury Theological Seminary, and Bethel Theological Seminary. With the help of some of his friends, in 1994, Dr. Rako founded a national volunteer ministry to hunters. He is an author, dog trainer, and speaker. Tom served as a full-time pastor for 36 years. Now here is your host, Dr. Tom Rako.
Thanks for joining us here on the Rock Dove Publications Quill. During today's program, we're going to be talking about a hunting miracle that was not. You know, sometimes people claim a miracle when it's really not a miracle at all. And we'll be looking at one in the Bible. You'll also be hearing an entry from my book, Devotions for Hunters and Anglers. I hope that you enjoy today's program.
Things are not always as they appear. Scripture reading, Hebrews 13, 1-6. It was just before 6 a.m. when I pulled my 20-plus-year-old car into the public hunting ground parking area. The big old Chevrolet I was driving had a rapidly rotting cloth roof and a rusting yellow body. It was known by family and friends as the Bruised Banana. When I returned a couple of hours later from my early morning bow hunt, I was surprised to find an orange card placed on the windshield. The card was signed by a deputy sheriff and said, "Abandoned Vehicle." Now, I don't know if the car's engine was still warm when the deputy tagged it as abandoned. Nevertheless, I do know that I had no intention of abandoning the old beater. When I later called the sheriff's office to find out what I should do, I was told to just ignore the abandoned vehicle card. I also jokingly remarked to the sheriff's dispatcher, "You kind of hurt my feelings." Even so, it was understandable how the deputy, judging by mere appearance of my car, could conclude that it had been abandoned. But we know that things are not always as they appear. Same is also the case when we consider some of the people who lived in Bible times. Sometimes the circumstances that surrounded their lives seem to say that they were abandoned by God. For example, in the Old Testament book of Genesis, we read how Joseph was sold into slavery by his own brothers and ended up in a foreign land as a servant to an Egyptian named Potiphar. It certainly would have appeared that God had abandoned him, yet the scriptures tell us the Lord was with Joseph, and he prospered, and he lived in the house of his Egyptian master. And later, when he was falsely accused by Potiphar's wife and thrown into jail, it would have seemed as though God had split the scene. But again, the Bible tells us, the Lord was with Joseph and gave him success in whatever he did. Of course, Joseph later rose to a place of great prominence in Egypt. In the New Testament, the Apostle Paul experienced great suffering as he declared the good news of Jesus Christ. Paul was falsely imprisoned, whipped, beaten, was stoned and left for dead, faced danger as well as a hunger and a thirst. Many times it would have seemed as if Paul was abandoned by the Lord. But despite all that Paul and his companions went through, God remained faithful. Paul told the Christians at Corinth, "We are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned." Furthermore, when Jesus commissioned his disciples to proclaim the good news, he knew that they would be rejected and experience various trials. There would be times when it would appear they had been abandoned. In fact, according to tradition, most of his close followers were eventually put to death. He knew. He was sending them out into a hostile and cruel world. But just before he ascended to heaven, Jesus promised his disciples, "Surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." The truth is that even though we may be abandoned by close friends and even family members, God will never abandon his own. Regardless of what the circumstances say, God will not forsake his children. Indeed, God has clearly promised, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. Friend, God will never abandon you. Prayer. Lord, thank you for not abandoning me. Amen.
Dr. Tom Rako has pulled together 60 hunting and angling devotionals. Every entry has a selected Bible passage to read and a story or personal experience tied into the scriptural point. Some of the titles for entries found in devotions for hunters and anglers include Buck Fever, The Antlered Doe, Catfish Corner, Barnyard Buck, Rabbit Hunt Romance, The Prodigal Pooch, A Case of Pheasant Forensics, Once in a Lifetime Moose Hunt, and Grin and Bear It. You don't have to hunt or fish to enjoy this book. It's a great read for anyone, young or old. To order your copy of Devotions for Hunters and Anglers by Dr. Tom Rako, go to the Rockdove Publications website, rockdove.com. Visit rockdove.com today.
A hunting miracle that was not. Early in Bible history, there was an individual who claimed to have experienced a type of hunting miracle. Nevertheless, this was not a miracle at all, but rather an act of deliberate deception which was purposely directed and prompted by a doting mother. Even so, it's important to keep in mind that at least in the view of the patriarch Isaac, a hunting miracle was considered a distinct possibility. Indeed, from this event, we should conclude that things are not always as they appear, taste, feel, or even smell. This hunting miracle was a mother and son conspiracy which used various physical senses in hopes of obtaining a verbal blessing from a father whose eyesight was failing. The Bible tells us there were twin boys who had been born to a couple by the names of Isaac and Rebekah. Although twins, they were very different. Unfortunately, each parent had a favorite. Favoritism can be an extremely divisive force in a family. This was certainly the case with these twins named Esau and Jacob. The book of Genesis tells us, "The boys grew up, and Esau became a skillful hunter, a man of the open country, while Jacob was content to stay at home among the tents. Isaac, who had a taste for wild game, loved Esau, but Rebekah loved Jacob," Genesis 25, verses 27 to 28. Evidently, this favoritism seems to have grown out of the preferences of the parents and twins alike. The biblical record goes on to recount, "When Isaac was old and his eyes were so weak that he could no longer see, he called for Esau, his older son, and said to him, 'My son?' 'Here I am,' he answered. Isaac said, 'I am now an old man and don't know the day of my death. Now then, get your equipment, your quiver and bow, and go out to the open country to hunt some wild game for me. Prepare me the kind of tasty food I like, and bring it to me to eat so that I may give you my blessing before I die.'" Genesis 27, verses 1 to 4. Rebekah had overheard this discussion that Isaac, her husband, had with Esau. So she instructed her favorite, Jacob, to bring her two choice young goats from the flock and then proceeded to prepare them the way Isaac liked them. Rebekah also took some of Esau's clothing, which evidently smelled like him and his outdoor lifestyle, and gave them to Jacob to wear. In addition, as a means to help imitate Esau's hairy body, she also covered his hands and the smooth part of his neck with the goat skins, Genesis 27:16. We are then told that Jacob went to his father and said, "My father?" "Yes, my son," he answered. "Who is it?" Jacob said to his father, "I am Esau, your firstborn. I have done as you told me. Please sit up and eat some of my game so that you may give me your blessing." Isaac asked his son, "How did you find it so quickly, my son?" "The Lord your God gave me success," he replied, Genesis 27, verses 18 to 20. Despite some misgivings Isaac had regarding the voice which sounded like Jacob instead of Esau, Isaac eventually granted the blessing. It's important to note that when questioned by his father Isaac about the speed of his hunting success, we discover that Jacob gives the Lord credit by saying, "The Lord your God gave me success," Genesis 27:20. It was indeed an amazing lie. On the surface, it appeared to be a miracle, but was anything but a miracle. Not only did Jacob use the various senses and knowledge about his brother's whereabouts, but he also claimed the Lord God was the one behind his speedy success afield. The fact is, people have been invoking the name of the Lord for their own purposes for a very long time. In this instance, God's name was used to accomplish a scam. This was a hunting miracle that was not. And whether hunters want to admit it or not, there are times when this still takes place. Normally not to the same degree or with the same extreme consequences, but it still transpires. Take, for example, an event I personally witnessed a number of years ago. In the big scheme of things, the miracle I observed is of little significance. Nevertheless, such behavior should bother any and every hunter. The phony miracle I witnessed took place at a Minnesota Department of Natural Resources official weigh-in for deer that had been harvested. Deer harvested in this particular part of the state were being professionally weighed in and weights recorded by members of the Department of Natural Resources. I believe they were doing a very thorough and professional job. No doubt such information would prove helpful in helping gauge the actual health of the deer herd in that locale. It was the opening day of the deer rifle season, and this particular weigh-in was taking place at a popular gas station. I especially watched as one nice whitetail buck went through the weigh-in process. A steel tripod had been set up, and the buck was then hoisted up in order to be weighed. Because it was now dark, the DNR official was wearing a headlamp and peering at the scale. The official then announced in a clear, loud voice three distinct times, 165 pounds, 165 pounds, 165 pounds. The crowd of orange-clad hunters gathered around the hoisted buck applauded the announcement of the eight-pointer's weight, and several congratulated the hunter. I finished filling my gas tank and followed the hunter whose whitetail had just been weighed into the convenience store. The happy hunter asked the cashier if he could use the phone to make a local call. I listened as he told the person on the other end, "I got a nice eight-pointer that weighed 180 pounds. In less than 5 minutes, his dead deer had somehow managed to gain 15 pounds. Personally, I wouldn't be surprised if by the next morning this same buck tipped the scales at 200 pounds or even more. Now, what difference does 15 pounds really make, and where do such lies come from? According to the Bible, every lie that has ever been told can ultimately be traced back to the devil. Regarding the devil, Jesus stated, "When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies," John chapter 8, verse 44b. When we come back, we'll have some closing remarks.
Hunting Miracles, Ancient and Modern, contains true stories of how God has worked in the lives of hunters down through history. This unique work, edited by Dr. Tom Rako, contains true stories by 9 different contributors. In Hunting Miracles, readers discover miracles that took place on hunts more than 1,000 years ago. See how God has used deer, ducks, geese, and even wood ticks to reveal his power and presence. Be encouraged by how the prayers of desperate hunters have been answered in amazing ways. To order your copy of Hunting Miracles, go to the Rock Dove Publications website at rockdove.com. Again, to get your copy of Hunting Miracles, be sure and visit rockdove.com.
As we've looked at this lie that Jacob told his father Isaac and proclaimed that God had somehow quickened and given him the ability to have success hunting, it was a lie. And we need to realize that lying is completely contrary to Christ's character. Of course, we have all been guilty of lying at some time or another. On one occasion, Jesus declared, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me," John 14:6. If we know Christ is our Savior, we have responsibility to be truthful. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And there are really no excuses for exaggerated weights or of wild game or the length of a fish. Paul told the believers in Ephesus, "Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we are all members of one body," Ephesians 4:25. The fact is, miracles do take place, and yet there are those individuals who would want us to think there's a miracle. And I've experienced this. I've seen preachers that claim certain things that were not true. But that does not negate the fact that miracles do take place. And if you're in need of a miracle, friend, and I'm in need of miracles, we can ask God to intervene, to step in, and we can testify to the validity of God's involvement and his ability to transform any situation to perform the miraculous. Well, I hope you enjoyed today's program. We looked at a hunting miracle that was not. I hope you will join us again next time.
You've been listening to the Rock Dove Publications podcast with your host, Dr. Tom Rako. This program has also been brought to you by The Quilted Arrow, home of intelligent, stylish, field-bred English pointers with bloodline streams from Hall of Fame champion Guardrail. Thank you so much for listening. Now this is Beth Rako inviting you to join us again next time on the Rock Dove Publications podcast.